Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeart Radio app. We're on the radio from 1 until 4. And then after 4 o'clock, you can listen to the iHeart app for the John and Ken On Demand podcast, which contains the entire program. And you can listen to it again or pick up the things that you missed. And it's available 24/7.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, another keyword. This contest continues on KFI. Help you get $1,000. You got a chance. Listen for the keyword around 2:20. And then follow the directions, and you could win the money. We start this hour by bringing Steve Beloy back to the show, a senior legal fellow at the Energy and Environment Legal Institute. And he wrote an editorial that appeared in the Wall Street Journal recently about this story that July 3rd and July 4th were the two hottest days on Earth on record. As he says, it comes from the global warming industry. And, of course, they got a lot, and I mean a lot of media play those 2 days.
Supposedly the hottest in 125,000 years. Say that out loud. July 4th was the hottest in 125,000 years. Somebody check how long humans have been around. Because I think we evolved into our current form about 100,000 years ago. Let's get Steve on the line here. Steve Malloy.
Hey, John, how are you doing?
All right, so Ken? Steve, you can explain this to us. How would they know what the temperature was globally 125,000 years ago?
Well, they don't, and I think that's the joke. I mean, they're making these claims which get parroted through the lamestream media. The claim is based on satellite-gathered data to start with. Now, what satellites did they have 125,000 years ago? Absolutely none. And if you look into it just a little bit deeper, you see that you know, most of the world where people live wasn't really warmer. There was this incredible heat wave over the Antarctic, you know, went from like, you know, normally it's winter down there right now, and normally it's like, you know, 70 below, and it went, made it up to 30 below, right? Still pretty cold. But, you know, that, 40 degree difference over a large area, well, obviously that's going to affect this, you know, bogus notion of a global average global temperature, which of course nobody lives at. Where do you measure it? You know, Al Gore says the Earth has a fever. Where do you put the thermometer?
We didn't even have thermometers till what, the 1800s?
Yeah, basically around that. But we still don't have reliable measurements of global temperatures. Much of the Earth's surface is still not covered. Even where we measure temperatures, they're not accurate to within 1 degree centigrade. And, of course, that is the amount of global warming the alarmists claim we've had since industrialization.
All right.
So we can't even really measure it.
I mean, we barely had people around 125,000 years ago. We certainly didn't have thermometers. We didn't have satellites. We didn't have thermometers till the 1800s. I can remember that weather satellites came around the late 1970s, around 1978, yeah. 79, I think.
Yep.
So anything pre all those demarcations is just total nonsense.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I mean, the reason I brought up the Antarctic heat wave is because that's probably been happening a lot over the course of time. And if we're going to say, well, this is the hottest day based on that, well, we've never been, really been able to measure that until recently, until we've had satellites. There aren't very many temperature stations down there. None of them are really reliable. The whole thing is just made up, like all of climate. You know, I pointed out in my article that if you looked at where people actually live and you know, measuring actual temperatures where people live, the Earth is about 57.5 degrees, has been that way for a very long time. You know, nothing has changed recently. This is not the hottest June. This is not the hottest July. This is not the hottest year. This is just another year, another month, another day, another week.
So where do they get the extra heat from? Because you write that the temperature probably averages around 57, not 62.
Well, they got it from this Antarctic heat wave, which
just that.
You know, yeah, we've only, you know, been measuring recently.
So that threw off
That's
the
it.
Whole world's temperature average.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. The Arctic is at exactly average right now, and has been for months now. There's nothing unusual going anywhere. This is just, you know, summer and weather. You know, it's been hot before in California. It's been hot before in Arizona. It's been hot before in Texas. You know, in 1980, Texas had a heat wave that went on for about 10 weeks or so. 2,000 people died. Back then, it was just a heat wave and bad weather. And you know, it wasn't climate change or global warming. Now we've completely weaponized all these terms.
Are you aware of any explanation as to why we had ice ages and why they ended?
Well, you know, there are, you know, the Earth goes around the sun, and there's a little bit of a wobble. There's this, you know, Milankovitch cycle, it's called. Also, there are, you know, all sorts of changes that go on in the Earth. You know, the Earth is, you know, the core of the Earth is very hot, and that is changing. The Earth is constantly changing. And this notion that, you know, climate alarmists want you to believe that, well, you know, we just have windmills and solar panels, we're going to go back to the climate of yesteryear. No, we're not. Well, I don't even know what that means.
But this is a lot of money for a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah, this is trillions and trillions of dollars. As a matter of fact, you know, the alarmist community, they want to spend $270 trillion over the next 30 years getting to net zero. John Kerry, once we get this is really funny. Once we get to net zero, John Kerry wants to spend another $1.6 quadrillion sucking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere.
Quadrillion?
Quadrillion. He was asked about that last week at the House hearing. Yeah, he wants to suck out of the air 1.6 trillion tons of carbon dioxide, and each, you know, doing that costs $1,000 a ton. So that works out to $1.6 quadrillion. I mean, the guy is crazy. Wow. They're all crazy.
I think, you know what? You're the first person I've ever heard to use the phrase quadrillion to describe a spending plan.
This temperature claim, Steve, came from the University of Maine's Climate Reanalyzer, which you write relies on a mix of satellite temperature data and computer model guesstimation. This story got so much play in the media everywhere. It comes from just this University of Maine's Climate Reanalyzer?
Yeah, that's exactly. And they're the ones that they use some satellite data, some computer models. And, of course, none of these computer models work. It's just making stuff up. And because it got this really shocking answer, you know, the dirty secret is that this year has been cool. And not only has this year been cool, there's been no global warming in the past almost 9 years, despite emissions of 500 billion tons. You know, we're taught that every emission warms the planet. Well, the last 500 billion have warmed nothing. So that's why the media is going just absolutely bonkers this year with every heat wave and everything they can make up. They're just throwing everything and anything against the wall, hoping it sticks.
We were talking about this last hour that media, especially the media here in California, was pretty quiet the first 6 months because it was a pretty cool beginning to the year.
Yeah.
As soon as this heat wave hit last week, holy mackerel, the stories just multiplied.
In fact, why did that happen? We had one of the coolest six-month stretches that anybody could remember.
Okay, so What really is controlling our climate and has for at least the last 40 years has been these El Niños that come out of the Pacific. And the last El Niño, the last time we had global warming was in 2015. And then we went into the negative phase of that, the La Niña phase, where there's some cooling. And then, you know, now we're going and we had a 3 years of La Niña. So that made it pretty cool. And that's why you got all that rain in the winter and spring and why it's been cloudy and cool. And so now we're going into an El Niño phase. And the El Niño is once again going to drive temperatures up a little if it's strong enough. And so that's really what's going on. It's these El Niños that emissions have nothing to do with.
I like the way you also wrote 96% of U.S. temperature stations produce corrupted data.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, it's very hard to get a real measurement. You know, a lot of these temperature stations tend to be in urban heat islands. You know, the urban heat island effect is where, like, you know, if you look at your local weather map in the evening, you see urban areas, you know, cities are warmer than the countryside. That's because of all the asphalt and concrete waste heat.
Oh, yeah. My driveway is 10 degrees hotter than after I pull the car out down the block.
So if you have a temperature station at an airport, which is nothing but concrete and asphalt and hot air coming out of jet engines, well, you're going to get a biased result. So there's a lot of that, and there's a lot of other things that can corrupt temperature readings. And, you know, people have done research and found that, you know, 96% of these stations are corrupted. They're not accurate to within 1 degree centigrade, which is, you know, exactly the amount of global warming they claim we've had. So we really don't know what's going on at all. You know, you throw in this, you know, the Antarctic heat waves, who knows what global temperature's really been, but they, you know, the alarmists want us to give up fossil fuels, destroy our standard of living. They want to tell us how to live, where to live, what kind of electricity we can have, what kind of food we can eat. It's all crazy.
All right, Steve, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Yep, bye-bye.
Steve Malloy, Senior Legal Fellow at the Energy and Environment Legal Institute, and also writes about what he calls junk science. And this was about the report last, it was 2 weeks ago now, that Earth's had its hottest temperature, you know, 125, our average temperature, 125,000 years. Coming up next, your chance at money with another keyword, John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
1 hour ago, we were talking about the possibility of the El Segundo Times being sold. Remember that story, John,
yes.
1 hour ago?
Yes, were they sold?
And you, no, but you had mentioned the Barbara Bain story.
Yes.
Apparently not. Well, Barbara Bain, of course, was an actress in Mission Impossible television series.
Yes.
And she ended up marrying Martin Landau for a while. They were married. She's still alive, actually. I looked her up. She's 91.
What about her dog?
Well, somebody sent a link from 2008 that an LA Times staffer, a former staffer, spoke to Barbara Bain at a party. When I told her I worked at the Times, she made a point of telling me the story of her dog. The dog was not killed by a heavy newspaper. It was off his leash, ran into the street and was hit by a Times delivery truck.
Well, that's worse.
She insisted it was her fault alone. She never sought damages from the Times. Well, but it wasn't that the paper was so heavy in 19.
No, it was a whole truck full of papers. That was really heavy. Oh, my God. Time's killing dogs.
This story is riling some people up today from the woke world of Disney. They are apparently remaking Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, but into a live-action movie. However, there won't be any dwarfs.
What's the point of the movie, then?
No, it would be a different tale, yes. It's going to be seven people who are regular-sized, and they're described as magical creatures. So they're not dwarfs, they're just creatures, and they're magical. This one, of course, is diverse. There's apparently a screenshot that's come out on the set of this movie.
Yes, and you know what? They're going to come door to door and confiscate any DVD copies you have of the original version. They're going to have woke police come into your door, and they're going to snatch them right out of your cabinet.
This was not a... the picture, there is a young lady with a red cape walking down a hillside, and behind her, there are seven people, but they look like anybody else you'd see. They're not particularly short-sized, and they're very ethnically diverse. Women, men,
diverse.
Black people, white people, very ethnically diverse.
So, is Snow White still going to be Snow White? Or are they going to call her Snow Beige?
Also from the world of the woke, the New York Post just did a story. We may take a closer look at this. I saw this story in a couple of media outlets here last week. As you know, the state of California is trying to revise its math education. As the Post says, they're doing it in the name of equity. The state's new math framework for public schools ditches traditional instruction to emphasize self-identity and cooperation in lieu of actual math skills. It aims to keep all students in the same math courses until 10th grade, no longer grouping them by skills.
Oh, my God.
So the kids who can learn more get the more advanced instruction they need, but no longer. So the results will be far fewer kids able to take advanced classes like calculus or even algebra.
Okay, so all the really smart math kids who've helped revolutionize our world with all the tech inventions and innovations, they're no longer going to get taught advanced math. They're going to have to sit bored and stupid while the slow ones try to catch up. Of course, a lot of the slow ones aren't really slow. They just don't care. They don't care about learning math. So now the ones who don't care about learning are going to be the tyrants over those who do care and learn quickly. Boy, I no way my kids would go to a school like that.
They're coming up with something called math identity rainbows. Each student is to pick a color representing his or her individual strength.
That's child
abuse.
Whether
it's communicating, perseverance, or numerical reasoning.
That is child abuse. In fact, we made one of our decisions about what school they would go to based on exactly that issue, because there was a school and it seemed pretty good and got accepted there. But we went to a parent's question and answer thing. And I said, so if one of my kids does really well, let's say in math or reading, will they be given an accelerated program? And they said, well, no, we don't do that here. He'll be able to help the teacher instruct some of the other kids. I said, I see. So you're not going to teach him to his capabilities, and you're going to put a big target on his back by making him the teacher's pet, the assistant. And so it's like at that moment, it's like no chance for this school.
Uh-uh. This is the concept of groupthink, the whole idea of unions. We work as a group together. Nobody gets ahead of anybody else. They're getting rid of Algebra 2, and they're going to introduce a course called Introduction to Data Science, which is the Post writes. It doesn't teach core concepts like logarithms and trigonometry.
No, they're going to turn a generation stupid is what they're going to do. They would rather have everybody equally stupid than have a certain sliver excel and continue to change the world's progress. That's insane. And you know what? No intelligent family is going to go for this. You're not going to go anywhere near these kind of schools. That is absurd. They should be locked up in prison.
We'll carry on. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, coming up after 3 o'clock, our guest will be Steve Gregory from KFI News to give us a little more information on the FBI. The FBI investigating the LA County Sheriff's Department over a couple of viral videos, including the one we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where a couple was suspected of shoplifting, and eventually one of the deputies got into it with the women and the woman in the pair, and she went to the ground. So that's one of 2 incidents that the FBI is investigating. Good God. Anyway, he'll fill us in on the other one, too. Coming up after 3 o'clock. Well, if you live in Orange County and you drive the 405 freeway, there is 16 miles between Costa Mesa and the LA County line where they're going to soon open up the dreaded toll lanes. And it's really complicated as I read it here in the El Segundo Times. Under the policy, there'll be no tolls for carpools with 3 or more people. None for motorcycles or vehicles with designated veterans license plates or disabled person license plates. If you're in a clean air vehicle, you get a 15% discount. But carpools with 2 people, remember, the carpool has to be 3 now, 2 people can use the lane without paying in the first 3.5 years during non-peak hours.
What?
Did you follow that? Yeah. That's where it gets
the hell.
So outside of the hours of 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and then 2 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, you can be two people. You don't have to pay, but only for now, for the first 3.5 years of this.
Wait a second. Two people, as long as it's outside 6 to 10 and 2 to 7.
Yeah, the big peak drive time hours, right?
Uh-huh. And then
outside of 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday.
Great. They have different hours on the weekends.
And they do, because that's when the freeways get very busy in the afternoon.
I don't think people remember this, but in Orange County, you people voted to tax yourselves under Measure M.
Oh, yeah.
And I found a press release from 2018 that they're going to use the Measure M money for about a $2 billion expansion of the 405 between Costa Mesa and the LA County line. And that's been ongoing for quite a while.
It has, yeah.
But what that means is you already paid for the road with Measure M. You already paid it. It was a half-cent sales tax increase. So I don't understand. If everybody paid for it with the tax increase, why do they have to pay for it again with a toll?
And I thought Orange County was always proud of that we have our own Measure M for our transportation projects. We're not like LA County, which is always starved for money.
Well, they did a good thing because on Interstate 5, the same thing. As soon as you cross the LA County line, it goes from about three lanes to eight. And suddenly this horrific traffic jam going south, like sometimes I've driven to Angel Stadium after the show.
Right.
And the traffic is horrendous until you go to the Orange County, LA County line, and then whoosh, it's almost like an orgasm. Suddenly it's like eight lanes of traffic flowing. And the same thing last week going down and back on the 405. You get to the county line, and it suddenly expands. Going north, it suddenly narrows, and here comes the traffic. But my point is to you, those of you in Orange County, you paid for this already. You've been paying the Measure M sales tax for quite a while. There's no reason to be charging you tolls.
Well, it says here they had to borrow $629 million from the feds.
Then pay it back with the tax. That's what the tax is for. Or did they squander it on bike lanes?
Oh, they did said they did. They had to build a bunch of bridges. Yeah, that I remember there were closures. 18 bridges had to be rebuilt, and they did add bike lanes.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. It shouldn't have gone to bike lanes. Everything should have gone to the road. And just use the sales tax for a longer period of time. But don't charge tolls. And then come up with something complicated.
The maximum toll rate for the entire drive will be almost $10. The minimum, about $2.70, depending on how congested it is.
You know what? And this is that corrupt Orange County Transportation Authority, the OCTA. Remember those?
You tangled with them years ago when you got billed for a toll.
Well, yeah, because we went down to see Pageant of the Masters a week ago, and it was really good. And you know, they try to entice you with taking the 73 as a shortcut, except they want like $8, $9, $10 to go down the 73, and it doesn't get you there any quicker. But they built that ridiculous freeway, and nobody wants to take it. Nobody wants to pay that money. It doesn't do you any good anyway. So this is, and remember, they would, because I got a a letter in the mail to pay and didn't notice that you had to pay within 5 days or doubled in price or some such nonsense, because we were screaming with, Todd Spitzer about it.
Yeah, he was on the board.
And he was going, blah, 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 I think was his response. they're just thieves. And I'm quoting that exactly. It's just they're a bunch of thieves. They are thieves.
Now, you have to have a transponder, too, to use these lanes.
Oh, yes.
While you were away on your vacation, L.A. County took away the transponder thing. Did you know that?
I saw that.
Yep. You no longer have to have a transponder to use the toll lanes in L.A. County, but you still have to pay the toll, and they allege that if you don't, they might be able to suspend your car registration or something like that.
Yeah, or they...
I'm curious to see what happens now with this grand experiment.
They kill your pets. Well... to my eyes, I mean, I don't have statistics on this, but I know the 73 is wide open empty much of the time. People aren't paying the $10 to go a handful of miles. And on the 10, going east in LA County and then coming back to the west, often those two lanes are wide open clear and everybody's bunched up in the other four lanes because, again, the tolls are outrageously high and we already paid this with other taxes. For God's sakes, the 405 is an interstate freeway. All right, so we've already paid federal taxes. We've paid state taxes. People in Orange County have paid the Measure M half-cent sales tax on top of it. And they want tolls? Unless we have three people in the car, which is always stupid because there's no such thing as a three-person carpool to work. I've never seen that. All right, you know, if anybody who has two other guys in carpool, what that is families could take it for free. So why do families get it just because there's three of them? It's ridiculous.
They pulled out a great one here from Dave Amos, a professor at Cal Poly City and Regional Planning Department. You can't add lanes indefinitely. We're living in a world where climate equity.
There we go.
Of a concern.
There's the prayer. Climate equity. Nobody even knows what that phrase means. But he pronounces it like people should go, oh my God, yes, climate equity. Climate equity. What the F are you talking about, buddy?
Well, it's because these freeways have been built in communities of color. And the people are taking the brunt of the pollution from the freeways. That's what it calls climate equity.
That is ridiculous.
Racist and classist, he called these.
Really? That's funny. The 405 that I know goes through Bel Air and Brentwood.
Are there houses there, though?
Yeah, there are.
I see hotels and
Brentwood Glen, yes. I had a friend who lived about a block away from the freeway. In fact, there was they had a ramp that went to the neighborhood that they closed up.
Oh, he must have been ghetto for that.
By the way, the 405 goes through Sherman Oaks. And
remember that Beverly Hills would not allow that freeway that was going to connect from like the 10 all the way across.
They
killed that project.
Somebody should have bulldozed Beverly Hills. They should have been cut right through that. I don't care if they cut through rich people neighborhoods. What I'm saying, though, is the 405 goes through everyone. All right. Goes through rich, poor, a lot of middle class areas. Goes through it goes through Irvine in Orange County, for God's sakes, and Costa Mesa. So that's a load of nonsense. It's their fake equity distraction. Really don't think you should, because you know why? People aren't falling for the climate change nonsense. They're still driving the cars. So, well, it's not only climate change, but it's climate equity, don't you know? All right, keep trying. Yeah, right. It's racist that I'm driving on the 405. Sure. Whatever you say, pal.
Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, the iHeart app has the John and Ken podcast, and you could hear whatever you missed.
All right, coming up after 3, the FBI is investigating the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department for a couple of incidents that made the news concerning police officers interacting, certainly in one case with a couple of suspects with a shoplifting story. Steve Gregory will update us on that. After that, we'll talk about this top union official with LAPD telling people in the union maybe you need to look elsewhere to work as a police officer, and that's surprising since it's coming from a union official. We'll get into all this after the news at 3 o'clock. The other story I saw on the local TV news, besides the fact that it's hot, was that tonight's drawing in the Powerball is $900 million, complete with asking people at John Bluebird Liquor how they'll spend the money.
No.
Yeah, they did.
They go.
Oh yeah, they spent like a good 2-minute report standing there with a bunch of goofs buying lottery tickets for tonight. And one guy even showed he had like a portfolio. Must have had like 100 or 200 tickets stuffed in there that he bought.
All losers.
Well, they will find out tomorrow if he's won the grand prize.
If you need to be convinced that there's no hope for humanity, just go look at those. Liquor store lottery lines anywhere, because that's a clear sign that nobody understands math. And I mean, look, they're dumbing down math until it's almost non-existent in the schools based on that last story you had. And this is, you could see the result of it, that nobody understands that when you have a 1 in a billion chance, you're going to lose money. You're wasting your money, and it's all people who don't need to lose money.
Well, I think this lady should buy a lottery ticket. We have a story out of France that a woman was having coffee with a friend, and she got struck by a meteorite. Now, before I go much further, I'll tell you it was 4 ounces. It was like a tiny rock. So she said...
But that's got a lot of speed to it.
She said, I felt a shock to the ribs. I thought it was a ball or some sort of animal, like a bat hit me. And then apparently she found what hit her and took her to a geologist who said that, yeah, it was made of iron and silicon, and it was a very tiny meteorite. What are the odds of being... It's like the odds of winning the lottery. That's why I said she should buy a lottery ticket. She got hit by a tiny meteorite.
4 inches?
4 ounces.
4 ounces.
That's the weight of it. That's very light. But that was a small rock.
Yeah, it hurt them. But think of the speed. It's dropped from space.
50 tons of meteorite material falls to Earth's surface on a daily basis, but most ends up in the oceans. So it's very rare to find them in the regular environments where people are hanging around.
I'm going to go stand outside more.
Do you want to get hit by a meteorite and end it all?
Don't you?
We found out late last week that the main cause of death for, remember, Lisa Marie Presley passed away, kind of surprising. She was only 54. She had a small bowel obstruction after bariatric surgery. There are risks that come with weight loss surgery, and unfortunately, this one took her life. There's now a doctor. He apparently is behind a series called Botched, and he wanted to talk about the risks people are taking to achieve dramatic weight loss, which, of course, could include not just these surgeries, but also using that drug that's become very popular, particularly among fashionable West Siders, Ozempic.
It's supposed to be a diabetes drug.
That's what it's marketed as.
Yeah,
yes.
you take
it. I've seen the commercials, and they say it can cause weight loss.
Yeah, well, I guess it does cause weight loss, and so all the West Side women are on it. It's their quickie weight loss fix.
He says bariatric surgery can create scar tissue that can strangle your intestines.
Now, yeah, but was it years and years of opioid use? Because using opioids makes you extremely constipated, and sometimes opioid addicts die of an impacted colon. Yeah,
you are right. They did find evidence of drugs in her system, too.
Oh, she's been a long-time opioid drug addict.
Other long-term risks include hernias, gallstones, malnutrition, low blood sugar, ulcers, and reflux, and what? Acid reflux and dumping. What? Dumping syndrome, which can cause diarrhea, flushing, vomiting, and lightheadedness. I've never heard that term before. Well, dumping syndrome.
You should engage in flushing after diarrhea.
I imagine that means you can't that let you're it constantly, sit there. Right? You're constantly draining way or the other.
Jesus. So
yeah, and he says that sometimes people who don't lose weight with bariatric surgery, then they turn to Ozempic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you have scarring, you have slower intestines from weight loss drugs and the opioids, well, then what's going to happen?
Well,
you're going to fall over dead.
He says if you're going to go onto the Ozempic-type drugs and you're going to get intestinal pain, you're going to get stomach bloating, you're going to get pain, you drink alcohol with this, you're predisposed to intestinal obstruction and pancreatitis.
Oh, my God.
Ozempic's already been linked to a bunch of bad side effects. What? Excessive and putrid belching.
What is putrid belching? Does it smell bad?
Yeah, I guess it
does. You belch out a stink?
Well, don't most smell bad?
Have you ever done a big belch and it's like, oh,
well, sure,
you get that like an acidy reflux kind of flavor?
Yeah, it's half digested food.
Yeah.
And sagging skin. Oh, yeah, because if you lose the weight quickly.
Right.
Actually, having a little weight on you keeps you looking younger.
Your face.
Yeah,
that
baby
is true.
Face, yeah.
That is true. I've run into people that had dramatic weight loss and I'm like, you seem to look older to me.
Yeah, they look shriveled.
Right, because the skin.
Like a pop balloon.
It's like a pop balloon.
Yeah.
9% of patients reported belching as a side effect of Ozempic. 6% noted acid reflux.
You're going to see, Deborah, you're going to want to keep 10 pounds on.
Maybe a few, but just if I could just say, okay, just on my face, nowhere else.
You're not taking Ozempic,
are you? Oh, God, no.
All right. No, I'm just saying she's always worried about her weight.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, but, Ken, you know, I'm a tiny person. So even 5 pounds is a lot for somebody like me.
All right. When we return, Steve Gregory will join us from KFI News. The FBI is now looking into these L.A. County deputy incidents, Palmdale, Lancaster, the places that they occurred. One of them we spent a lot of time on, and that was the couple that may have been shoplifting, and eventually a deputy threw the woman in the pair to the ground. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.